Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Let me just say this. Brother, go ahead and start the recording. Is it going? Okay. As I sat before the Lord, I was getting a whole bunch of messages and calls, and there was a posting that my sister-in-law had posted up. Monique, her sister Monica, is young. She's only 31, and she has full-blown cancer. She has cancer everywhere. It's my brother Norbert's daughter. And what came to mind right away is this is a time to be encouraged by God. Yes. It's a time to cry out to God. See, a lot of times we don't see God until the sirens are blowing. Yeah. It's 911 in your life. I need help. I gave him a solution. A solution that comes from the Word of God, and that's turning your life over to Christ. Cry out to Him with a heart of repentance. See, here's one of the things that we don't understand, is the way to get to the heart of the Father is through a heart of repentance. Is acknowledging that we have sinned before a holy God. And we sometimes have to mourn and grieve over our own sin, so that we can now receive things from God. And so, I left several points for them to receive. And one of them is truly seeking the face of God, turning to God, trusting in God, and be around believers that know how to pray, that know how to touch the hem of His garment. And that's the key. So as I get our screen ready up here, so if you have your cell phones, you're going to put them on the off positions, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless You and praise You. Lord, we exalt You, we magnify You. Lord, I'm asking, God, that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Our Greatest Encourager. How many of you at times need to be encouraged? Amen. Amen. For me, I need to be encouraged continually. Why? Because pastoring a church and then the business that I do requires a whole lot of time, patience, energy. Yes, and energy as far as my health is concerned. And so I need to be encouraged by God. Now, my beautiful wife encourages me all the time. And I need that encouragement from her. But the greatest encouragement will come from Jesus. Amen. It'll come from the Lord. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to read these verses, and then we're going to just have the Holy Spirit have His way. Amen with this message. And so here we go. Let's read verse 1. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonica church. And one of the things that he wanted to convey to them is to know the times that we live in. You see, one of the things that we have to understand in the days that we live in perilous times. How many believe we live in perilous times? Oh, yes. We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for our political world. We need to be praying for our families. Amen. We need to be praying constantly. Why? Because the times we live in are very perilous. I've shared it many times. This is the first time in the history of our United States that there's been so many mass murders now. In the 1930s, in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, there were unheard of. And now there's well over 380 mass shootings since January. Something is out of order. And the only way we're going to get back in order as a nation, as a people, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To be a light shining amongst the darkness. Amen. And so when Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church, he wanted them to know the time they were in. And this was in a prophetic sense for us, because how many know that Jesus is still coming? Yes. They thought that he was coming during this time. But let me just say this, as my beautiful sister reminded us, September 17th is the Feast of Trumpets. And it lands on a Sunday. Woo! My goodness. Could it be? We don't know what year. We're not setting dates. We don't set dates up here. But could it be September 17th, the feast, the two-day feast? Could Jesus come and rapture the church? You know what? This body's saying, I'm ready. Oh, that's right. I'm ready. Some of us are saying, I'm ready. But there's nothing to be fearful, because God's going to change all things and make them beautiful. Just imagine having a body without any pain, no suffering, no more anxiety, no more roller coaster diets. Huh? Oh, come on. I want that new body. I'm saying, God, I think that new body you've made for me is going to have some hair on it. So let's read this, and then let's get into our study. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That's how he's going to come, like a thief in the night to the unbeliever. Not to us believers, because we know what time it is. Verse 3, look at this. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, say that with me. You, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. And so it's not going to overtake us. Why? Because we're looking for Jesus. The world's not looking for him, but we are. Look at this. He goes on to explain. You are all sons of light and sons of the day, meaning we've been born again. He has given his ears to hear and eyes to see. We have the light of God living inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So now we are aware of our surroundings. We are aware of what's going on with us. Amen. And what Jesus is about to do. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. There's people sleeping. There's some people that can't wait for the NFL to kick on next week. They can't wait for the keggers and all dayers and watching 3-4 games in one day. They can't wait. And yet, Jesus is coming. And we need to encourage one another. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, let's not be intoxicated of the world. Because the world will get you drunk in all of its culture. It's not just talking about alcohol here. It's talking about being sober, have our mind focused on the things of God. Have your minds focused on your family, caring for your family, loving your family, raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, instilling righteousness in your family. Because let me just say this, when the family is in order, the church is in order. But when the family's out of order, the church will become out of order. It all starts at the home. And many that I see here have beautiful families. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Yes.
We need to walk around knowing that we are saved. Can I get an amen? We can't go around thinking, well, am I saved? No, we are saved. Can I get an amen? Look at this. I love this verse of scripture right here. For God did not appoint us to wrath. How many are so blessed to know that? He didn't appoint us to be destroyed. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. What does wake and sleep mean? That means we wake up to the Lord, or sleep also in the Greek means to die in this flesh and go to the grave. Okay? So whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, does it say frighten one another? No, it says comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also what? Doing. Praise God, praise God. Look at this. So he goes on to say, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. There's beautiful servants in every church, and there's some wonderful servants here. And they labor. They labor and co-labor in the ministry. And are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. Praise God, praise God. Amen. The Lord is good. How many believe the Lord is good? And so, saints of God, we need to understand, we all experience at times situations when we need to be encouraged. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Someone who lifts us up when we're down and motivates us to keep going, keep pressing, especially when we want to give up. How many times have you felt like giving up? Oh, we all do at times. Man, I'm tired of this. But God comes and says, I got you. I'll lift you up. Don't worry. Thank you, God. And so we need to keep going, not never to give up. Someone that will stand with us through every challenging circumstance. And how many of us are challenged all the time? Oh, yes. Come on. We're not immune from that, are we? And so what's more, saints of God, each of us needs to be an encourager to someone else as well. As we're being encouraged by the Lord Jesus, we need to encourage one another, saying, you can make it, my brother. You can make it, my sister. You can make it, my honey. My honey's always encouraging me. She's always telling me, you can do it. You just keep going. Do what you're called. I'm with you. And that's an encouragement to know that she's with me. But more so that Jesus is with me and Jesus is with you. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And there are people all around us who are discouraged and can use a word of comfort, of an act of kindness to their life. Can I get amen? Praise God. And whether friends or family, saints of God, members, acquaintances, or even strangers, you and I, we can make a tremendous difference in someone's life. And give them a glimpse of Christ as we follow his example and his compassion that God has given the church. Can I get amen?
Amen?
So when Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church, he encouraged them with the assurance of Christ's return and also what was they are to expect. And what are we to expect? Not only is he coming, but we have this eternal hope that we're going to be changed and we're going to be like him. How many can't wait for that moment? My goodness, praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this right up here. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another as you also are doing. Praise God. Now, let's look at that word encourager. So the Greek word for an encourager is parakletos. Parakletos, which means one who is called alongside. So Jesus is alongside of us. But you know what's so even greater than that? He's inside of us. Can I get amen? When we're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, He lives inside of us. So He's in us and through us and alongside of us, and He's leading us and He's guiding us. Can I get amen? Amen. That's how much He loves you and I.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. I'm so glad that He's with us and not against us. And that's exactly what we are to do for one another, is come alongside each other as well. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, the night before the crucifixion, saints, Jesus told His disciples that although He was leaving, He would send them a helper. Aren't you so blessed? And who is our helper today? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, amen? Well, right up here, look in the Word. In John 14, 16, look at this. And I pray, this is Jesus, He says this, I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Look at this. It's the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Notice the world, this is the people that's part of our life that are not believers. They don't comprehend what we're learning today, what's in us, what's happened to us. They don't comprehend it. Why? Because the Spirit of truth is not yet living inside them. They have not been born again. And listen, don't knock them. Don't beat them on the head with the Bible. Don't rebuke them. You know what? Show them the love of God through your life. Be Jesus in front of them. Hallelujah. Don't condemn them. Don't belittle them. You know why? Because one day they're going to come to a place of repentance, and then they will be right next to you worshiping God with you. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Listen, we were all knuckleheads and stiff necks, weren't we? I was the chief sinner. Paul said I was the chief sinner. Well, if he was the chief sinner, I was one of the generals. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. Turn to your neighbor. But you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. Do you catch that? And He's already in us now. Look at this. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Never think for one moment that Jesus will abandon us. He won't, because He loves us. Do you know that He's watching over us when we are asleep? Little Judah that just came into this world, he was with Him in his mother's womb. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says before he was formed in his mother's womb, he already knew his name. What? He already knew our name before we came into this world. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, this same Greek word, parakletos, means an encouragement. And up until that point, saints of God, Jesus had walked beside them, and He was with them. He ministered to them. They experienced frightful things, but yet Jesus was with them. Can I get amen? And so we need to understand that Jesus is our primary example of an encourager. Can I get amen? And so we're going to look at some biblical principles on how God encourages us and how you can be an encourager. Can I get amen? Number one, prayer. We need to have a prayer life. Can I get amen? You need to establish a prayer life. He taught His disciples to expect answers to prayer. How many believe that you're not praying amiss? How many believe that what you petition to God, He will answer?
Yes.
You know, I've heard it like this. He may not answer you when you call upon Him at that moment, but He's always right on time. He's always right on time. Can I get amen? You got to remember, He's not the genie in the bottle, you know, you just rub it three times. No. He wants that communication. He wants us to commune with Him. He wants us to sit on His lap and say, Abba, Father, when's the last time you told Jesus you love Him? Tell Him you love Him every day. Tell Him you adore Him, you worship Him, you glorify Him. And so prayer, what does prayer do? Right up here in Matthew 7, look at this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, another principle that sometimes we step over, we high hurdle over it, and sometimes we forget that there's some people in our lives that we haven't forgiven. Can I get amen? So he teaches us, encourages us to forgive. Forgiveness. Can I get amen? Forgive. We need to forgive others. Jesus showed them the importance and benefits of forgiving other people. And one of the things that I found in his word is Matthew 6:14. Look at this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But look at this next sentence, this next scripture in verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What? So that means there's something that I must do. Can I get amen? Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, there's going to be people that are honoring. There's some people that are going to double cross you. There's some people that are going to slander you. There's some people that will even get physical with you. But God said, forgive them. Forgive them. You have to learn to forgive. Why? Because Jesus was on that cross. And when he took on the beatings, they spat on him. They cursed his name. They whipped him to a bloody pulp. And what came out of his mouth was this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What? That is the greatest love that mankind will ever see. Where Jesus would forgive us for that grotesque time and moment that he had to experience for you and I. And so another time and another thing that really plagues us, and sometimes we don't know how to deal with it, and some people turn to drugs and medicine, and they can't cope with this anxiety. They're stressed out. Their high blood pressure goes through the roof. They're worried about something they cannot control. And so, using the example of God's provision for flowers and birds as proof that he cares for them, he told the people not to be anxious. Can I get amen? We're not to be anxious. Some of you that are praying for a home, you know what? In time, God will give you a home. Some of you are praying for children. In time, God will give you a children. Some of you are praying for a husband or a wife. In time, God will do that. But wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Can I get amen? Because he will bring you the best thing of life. I want his best. Can I get amen? You know, back in the day when I was still eating those carne asada burritos, there was a little slogan on there. The best Mexican food is if you just wait and be patient. I wanted to walk in and grab that burrito now. Listen, some things are well worth waiting for. Can I get amen? Look at this beautiful child. It was in the womb for 9 months. They had to patiently wait. Can I get amen? Praise God. They don't come in 9 days. They come in 9 months. So you can plan. You can start preparing. God gives us that time to have prayer with him. To love him. Say, God, with this child that's coming, oh God, help me. Help me be that wonderful, the mother and then the father that comes alongside. Help me be this wonderful parents that you are giving us another gift. Children are a gift from God. Can I get amen? They're precious. They're precious. But we're not to worry about situations of life. Why? Because there's some things that we cannot do on our own strength. And we will get so convoluted in our mind, we'll start having terror and nightmares at night and waking up with cold sweats. For what? Well, Jesus gives us an answer in the Word right up here. Look at this. In Matthew 6:25, look at that. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body than and then clothing? Look at the birds of the field, for they neither sow nor they reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more valuable than them? Are we more valuable than the birds of the field? Huh? God wants us to know that He has the best for us. We're as highly created beings on this planet. We're the only living beings on this planet that has a soul, has a mind. We can communicate with one another and communicate with Him. Try to get that communication with your dog. He'll just bark at you and wag his tail when he's hungry. But God has given us that ability to love each other, to communicate with each other, but communicate with God. Look what else he wrote. Which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Listen, barefooted, I'm about 5'7", and that's it. I cannot pray, oh God, I want to be 6'2". That's not going to happen. Can I get amen? That will not happen. So what am I worried about? Look at that. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither they toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown, what? Into the oven. Will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. King James says it like this. Oh, ye. Oh, ye of little faith. He goes on to say this. Look at this. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We all need things in life. Can I get amen? We need jobs. We need clothing. We need shelter. But God has provided that, hasn't he? Huh? Hasn't he?
Yes.
This beautiful child that just came. Some that are still on their way. And another one right over here that just came. God already knew the provision for these children before they were thrust out of their mother's womb. Can I get amen? And guess who was ready to receive them? You beautiful people waiting for them to come. To hold and to nurture and to love. God put that love in the mother and the father for that purpose. Can I get amen? And let me just say this. God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Can I get amen? Everything that's needed for that child, God's going to provide. Can I get amen? Because we serve a mighty God, a loving God, an awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And so, but here's the key. And look at verse 30. For all after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33. But seek. Say that with me. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day, it's in its own trouble. Hey, listen, there's enough trouble. So don't worry about tomorrow. Listen, you don't have to worry about it. We have trouble today. Job said it best. A man born of a woman is but one day and full of trouble. Listen, if you haven't experienced trouble, keep on living. Trouble will knock at your door one day. Can I get amen? But God is with us. Listen, here's another dynamic that we need God to always encourage us and encourage one another. Is this sin. Sin. Can I get an amen? Listen, when the Pharisees and Sadducees brought a woman that was caught in the midst of adultery, did Jesus condemn her? Let me just ask this question. Before you got saved, did he toss you into the lake of fire? When he saw you sinning with the most darkest sins of it all, I mean, the people I ran with, he could have destroyed me and said, I'm done with this guy. Huh? But that's why he came to save us from that. He came to save us from our sin. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus came to save us from our sin. It was only Jesus that could have come to do this because we couldn't save ourselves. We're inferior to that. We have no power over sin. Only God can destroy death, hell, and the grave. Only God can give eternal life. Only God can come down and save us wretched people on this earth. And so, he didn't condemn her. And matter of fact, they set her up. It was a setup. That's right. Yeah, you know, they wanted to see if Jesus was going to cast her and destroy her and condemn her. So what he did for her is what Jesus did for us. Can I get an amen? Come on. Come on. Is this right up here? Look at this. Look at this. In John 8:10, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. You got to picture this. They caught a woman caught in adultery, and they dragged the woman to Jesus, and they said, the law of Moses says she needs to be put to death by stoning her to death. So that was their verdict. That was their edict. That was their punishment, because they were going by the law. This is what I love about Jesus. Because he saw each and every one of these darkened hearts that had all these stones ready to pounce her. They wanted to just crash her head in. And Jesus he went down on one knee and started writing in the sand. Now, we don't know what he wrote on that sand. All I know is when he came up from the ground, what he said will go into eternity. Because it was a proclamation. It was what God said I would do regarding sin. Especially if it was sin unto death. Because she deserved death according to the law of Moses. Look at this. And he raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. He said to her, woman, where are those accusers? You know what he told them? All of you that have stones in your hands, the very first one that has no sin, cast the stone. He goes, if any of you have no sin, cast it. Just throw it. They were convicted. Why? Because some of them were probably looking in the window as she was committing the adultery. That's right. Come on. Keep it real. Come on. That's right. Keep it real. Oh, yeah. And now, not only did we see this, now we're going to kill her. That's how wicked their hearts are. And that's how wicked sometimes we can be in our own heart. So he said, all you here that have no sin, cast the first stone. And one by one, boom, those stones fell to the ground. One by one. One by one. And they all started walking away in shame. They couldn't defend that. They couldn't defend that. And so he rose up. After he told them, cast the first stone, that if any of you have no sin. And so Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. And he said to her, "Woman, where are those all those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" They're about ready to kill her. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Because when we got saved, Jesus, "Go and sin no more." Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Have we failed God? Yes. Have we fallen short? Yes. But hallelujah, the blood of Jesus is upon us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. That's all we need is the blood of Jesus. Because when God the Father looks down, he don't see our sin no more. He sees the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was his blood. He came. That's why he came, to shed his blood for you and I. Thank you, God. Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And then we need to be encouraged that the Spirit of God lives in us. We need to look at the Spirit. See, Christ's most encouraging message was given to his disciples the night before his death, the night before he was crucified. He told them of the persecution that they soon face and also assured them that he would send his Spirit to be with them forever. Hallelujah. Listen, you and I, we're recipients of that grace. We got the Spirit of God living in us. Man, isn't that something? So he said it like this in John 16. Look at this. "But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you. Your sorrow has filled your heart." But he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the what? The helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus had to die, be buried, and he had to rise again. And then when he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. You see, Jesus was allowed to be touched and be handled by the 12 and many others during that time, but his physical body couldn't touch the world. He was limited. So he had to go away so that the Holy Spirit could come and cover the earth in his glory. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's why we know we have him. Look what it says here in verse 8. "And when he had come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more." But look at this in verse 11. "Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." The ruler of the world is Satan. "And old Slewfoot's going to be cast into the lake of fire soon." Look at this. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whether he hears, he will speak, and what he will tell you, things to come." Hallelujah. And guess what? Jesus is coming. The Holy Spirit has said, Jesus is coming. He's coming again. How many believe he's coming again? Oh, come on. And so another biblical principle that God wants us to be encouraged in, and so it's this right up here. Provision. Provision. God will take care of the provision. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. He has taken care. Listen, he has been taking care of us when we were all thrust out of our mother's womb. Our parents took care of us, grandparents. And as we grew, someone was always taking care of us. But ultimately, it was him taking care of us. Can I get amen? Because he provided for them to care for us. Praise God. And so after teaching a large crowd, and there were 5,000 on this hill, and many of them came from miles. Some of them walked 50 miles, some of them barefooted. A lot of them could probably afford sandals, but they came to hear Jesus speak. And one of the provisions he did for them, and it was a miraculous thing, he fed them all. Now, when we hear about Jesus feeding the multitude, he fed 5,000. It says he fed 5,000 men. But what about the women and children? Add that, compound that. And he fed them. Can I get amen? Amen. And he took 5 loaves and 2 fish. Man, they had the best Rubio taco there. Good. Jesus made it. Can I get an amen? Come on. Oh, the best fish sandwich. And he provided for each and every one of them. Look at what it says right here in the Word. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the what? Multitudes. Look at this in verse 20. So they all ate and were filled. What? And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and that remained. There was leftovers. Come on, there was leftovers. My goodness. People were taking plates home. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. And look at this. Now, those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Praise God. Praise God. What a blessing, huh? And listen, let me ask this question. Has your cupboards ever been bare and empty? Come on, I got a man, never. Hallelujah. Come on. Listen, God already knows our needs. Can I get amen? He's not going to let his children go hunger with hunger and pain and suffering. He loves you and I. And let me just, I want to just say this. This is the providence of God. I want you to catch this, what I'm going to say. This is the providence of God. Okay, we were born in this country, right? Many of us were born in this country. Did we have a choice in that? Now, we all know the third world countries, India, China, all the, there's believers there too. I get that. But he chose us to be in this country. And look what he has provided for us. In this country. And this country is not ashamed. Even though there's some that are departing from the faith, but this country still allows us to come and worship God on Sunday. It still allows us to bring our Bibles to church. Can I get amen? We can still have Bible studies in our home. We don't have to worry about the secret police scoping us out. Because God chose us to be in this country. This is why we need to pray for this country. Can I get amen? Pray, 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 pray. We don't want to become a third world country. Many of them are losing their lives for the gospel. But here's the thing. Here's another wonderful principle is this, protection. God is always going to protect us. Can I get amen? Come on, God's going to always protect us. When the disciples were caught in a storm on the sea, and they were in danger of sinking into the bottom of that lake. By the way, the Sea of Galilee is a giant freshwater lake. We've been there many times, so we even dove off the boat and we're swimming in it when we weren't supposed to. But it's like swimming in a swimming pool because it's freshwater. But there arose a storm like no other. And we witnessed a storm the last time we were there, huh? Didn't we? We were in Capernaum. And the Sea of Galilee was just a rock throw away. And then a storm came out of nowhere, huh? And then we look, oh my gosh, look at the waves in that. It was just like, now we understood what happened to these disciples when the storm hit that lake. Oh my gosh. And they were in boats that could just be tossed. And they were fearful. They were fearful. Oh God, we're going to perish out here. We're going to die out here. And then when we were there, within moments, the whole storm just went away. And the whole lake was still. Like you could see your reflection. It was not tossing anymore. It was like, oh my gosh. God allowed us to see that so that the Word of God, the Bible, would come alive to us. Can I get an amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. But these disciples, they were fearful. Now, look at this. Look what happened here. Look at this. We read this in Mark. Look at this. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining and rowing. The wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Look at this. Walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Jesus said, I got to get to them. So he didn't call for another boat. He didn't call for an Uber boat. Huh? What did he do? He stepped into the water and started walking on the water. Come on, you got to believe the Bible when it says he walked on the water. Look at this. He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Look at that, verse 49. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. I'd be troubled too. Man, this is the guy that did all the miracles, but he's walking on water. Man, I'm telling you. Come on, this was nothing that you have on PlayStation to make up stuff. No. For they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. Say that with me. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Listen, when trouble comes your way, when perilous times come, do not be afraid. Can I get amen? Jesus is saying to us, do not be afraid of what could ever happen to your life. Can I get amen? Because he's with us. He'll always be with us. Look at this in verse 51. Then he went up into the boat with them. So he stepped from on top of the water and went inside the boat with them. Look at that. And look what happened. The wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marvel. Why? Because he said, storm, be still. So look at this. The wind and the waves came to a what? Wow. A silence. Wow. If God could do that, what are you afraid of? Huh? What trouble can come your way that Jesus is not able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for? So next time, before you run to the HMO and the PPO, run to Jesus. Run to God. Can I get amen? Run to God. I'd rather get healed by God than something that comes in a little bottle. Take two of these. Call me in the morning. And not only that, but one of the greatest principles and what God has done is this right up here, healing. Amen. How many believe that Jesus still heals today? Well, you better believe God heals today. And he just doesn't heal a headache. Can I get an amen? On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was not too busy to heal Bartimaeus. a poor blind beggar who cried out for mercy. Oh, yes. Now, I don't know if you recall, but on the way to the Dead Sea, there's a little town you pass, and then you start going into the desert. It's called Jericho. Remember the walls of Jericho fell? That's a real little town. It's still there, Jericho. Now, it's ran now, predominantly Palestinians are there, but that's a real geographical, biblical place, Jericho. Now, let's look what this story says right up here. Right up here, look at this. Mark 10. Now, when they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So his fame had already gone out throughout the region. They all knew about Jesus, but he's now walking in the midst of them. And look at this in verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet. In other words, they looked at this peasant. They looked at this poor guy like sometimes some of us do when we see homeless people. Oh, we just drive by. When we come to a stop on a freeway, they're right there to your left. They were no different than Bartimaeus. So next time, if you got a dollar in your visor, if you got something, give them something. You know what? Yeah, they're probably going to spend it on something foolish, but you know what? It's your heart. It's all about your heart. I'm not going to judge this guy. I'm not going to judge him. Or why don't you flop their shoes and be in their shoes? Some people are a paycheck away from being there. Can I get amen? Amen. Have that heart. Because Jesus is showing us he had that heart. Look what it says right here. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Look at this. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked the question. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You never know when you pray for that one homeless person. Some of them are probably running from their faith. Something crushed them. Something hideous happened in their life. And sometimes you could come alongside, and it's that moment in time where the Holy Spirit will come upon them and God will quicken them. And they'll have their mind back again. And then God will take them from that place and bring them back to a place of prominence. Believe the best for them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Yeah, they don't smell good. Yeah, they don't look good. I get that. But is your heart like Jesus? Jesus didn't question you. Man, look at you. What up with you? He said, "What can I do for you?" Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And how many believe that Jesus is the giver of life? So another principle is life. Are you getting something out of this message this morning? Or am I here just rambling? Life. Life. One of the greatest stories is Lazarus. Lazarus. Hallelujah. Because that was his compa. That was his compadre. That was his friend, Lazarus. He was part of that inner circle. But what happened to him? He got sick. And Jesus was far from where he was. He was about like 2-3 days away. And yet they went to go get Jesus. And when they finally came to Jesus, they said, "Jesus, Jesus, come and heal Lazarus. Your friend is dying. He's going to die. I think it's all over." Jesus could have dropped hat and said, "Come on, let's go." Or he could have sent his word and healed them from that spot. You remember, he was 100% man, 100% God. He could have just spoke the word. He's healed. Just go be with him. But the purpose for the roundup was that God would get the glory. Can I get an amen? So God set the whole thing up. Hallelujah. He knew Lazarus was going to expire. He knew Lazarus was going to die. He could have came right there and then. But no. He said, "Let that take place." And watch God. Watch God what he's going to do. Hallelujah. So we look at this story. We'll pick it up from here. Look at this. In John 11. Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. You see, let me just say this. When he got to Bethany, the first one that came to him was Mary. "Jesus, if only you would have been here, my brother would not have died." He waited 4 days purposely, because on the fourth day, when someone has died and they didn't have refrigeration back then, skin worms start to take place. Skin worms start developing. Why? Why did this God put those skin worms? So that they can disintegrate, so that only left after several months is bone. So the skin worms were already setting in. And so she goes, "My brother has died. If you would have been here, you could have saved him." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me shall never die." And he said, "Do you believe this?" And so she ran away. And here comes her sister Martha. Here comes Martha. "Jesus, Jesus. If only you would have been here." Same thing. I think they were the Bobbsey twins. I don't know. "If only you would have been here, my brother would not have died." So what he said to her, "Where have you laid him? Where have you laid him?" "He's in the tomb." He goes, "Let's go." And when he gets there, he says, in King James, "Take ye away the stone." And at that moment, they're saying, "But Lord, he stinketh by now." You see, I need you to catch this. When they said, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died," they had faith of yesterday. Are you catching this? They saw him raise the dead before. They saw all the blind that he touched, they could see. They saw the deaf that can talk. But when it came down to their miracle, they died in their faith. He said, "You have faith for yesterday." And then she goes, "I know you're the resurrection. I know that we will one day be raised from the dead." So they had faith for tomorrow. He was trying to get them to have faith for today. And that's the realm that we live in. We know that God will heal. Well, we know that God will come for us. But we can't come to a place of today. And he wanted to bring them to have faith for today. Where's your faith at today? Well, that's why he said, "Where have you laid them?" And he goes, Jesus, groaning himself. He came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away a stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been there for 4 days." Look what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, "Didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? How many miracles have they seen? I need to ask this question. How many miracles have you all seen? And so the next predicament that comes your way, are you going to believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all? Or we're going to doubt. Look at this. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. See, he had a constant communication with his father. Look at verse 42 right up here. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Wow. Verse 43, look at this. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. And sometimes you need to cry with a loud voice. Can I get an amen? Sometimes you got to cry out to God with a loud voice. And look what he says. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he had, look at this. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Notice he did one thing. When he stepped into the tomb, he said, Lazarus. He called him by his name. Can I get an amen? I need you to know this. He called each and every one of us by our name. Can I get an amen? He said, Placido, come forth. He said, Caleb, come forth. He said, Deacon Angel, come forth. Hallelujah. Every one of us, he called us by our name. Hallelujah. When we were dead in transgressions and sins, when we didn't even have a mind for him, he called us by our name. Hallelujah. And drew us. Oh, my goodness. He drew us. The Bible says that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. Hallelujah. And we were drawn. We were drawn by the Father to his Son. And then he called us by our name. Woo, thank you, God. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, God. Our last principle, and we'll close, is care. He cares for you. He cares for me. And we need to learn how to care for one another. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Even in the midst of suffering on the cross, Jesus was concerned for his mother. And he told John to take care of her. He's on the cross, ready to be crucified. He says, John, take care of my mom. Take care of my mom. Yeah. Look, it says right up here. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. At that hour, that disciple took her to his own home to take care of her. And so in closing, how do we become an encourager to others? Because we all read that Jesus is in control of that in our life, huh? He encourages us all the time. And so, how to become an encourager with our speech and also our action? We can say, but will we do it? Can I get amen?
Amen.
Here's some principles. Give a sincere compliment to someone when they need it. Tell them how much you know what, that they're valuable to God, that they're valuable to us, that you're valuable to this church. Tell them. Speak the truth with love.
Yes, speak the truth.
Pass on helpful information that'll help them. Be a help to someone. Can I get amen? Encourage with scripture and pray for them. Don't beat them on the head just because they're not here with you. No, love them. Love them to the cross. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Love them to the cross.
Amen.
And when they don't want to come with you, that's okay. Give them a great big hug and say, you know what? I'm going to go be with Jesus. Come on. Put a little thirst and hunger on their tongue for righteousness. and correct them when it's appropriate. Look at this. Let them know you love them. Can I get amen? When's the last time you told your child, I love you? When's the last time you told your husband, I love you? Your wife, I love you. Your son, your daughter, I love you. Your grandparents, I love you. Well, remind them that you do. Can I get amen? Just remind them. Tell them how much they mean to you. How much they're caring of us throughout our life. They were so special to us. Can I get amen? Comfort and assure them when they need it. And say thank you. When's the last time you said thank you to someone? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then our actions. How many believe actions speak louder than words? Look at this. With our actions. Offer a smile. Or even, when's the last time you took someone to lunch? When's the last time you gave them a gift? For no reason. For no reason. You said, you know what? I just want to love on you and just because this is how much you mean to me in my life. And some people, let me just say this. Some of the hardest things to receive is when someone wants to give you a gift. And you go, no. You know what? Flip that around and know that it's coming from Jesus. Say, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Whether you need it or not, it was from their heart. It was a kind gesture to you. This is how much they care about you. And so never reject it. Someone gives you something in your hand, oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's not like, oh, you didn't have to do this. No. No, just, you know what? God bless you. You know why? Because you don't want to take away their blessing. You don't want to take away their blessing. If they choose to bless you, let them bless you. Oh, thank you, God. Don't interrupt, but listen quietly. Sometimes we need to listen to folks. You ever been in a conversation and you're the only one speaking? And then when it's through, you didn't hear one thing they said. No, listen to them. Listen, hug them, forgive them, and serve them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And point out their accomplishments and reward them. Tell them how special they are. Tell them they're awesome. Tell them how much they mean to our community. They mean to your family. They mean to us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. Be honest and patient. Be honest with people and be patient with them. Accept them as they are. Point them in the right direction. And can I get amen?
Amen.
Motivate them to be their best and to do their best. And watch them achieve what God is achieving in your life. Can I get amen? They may not be there with you right there, but don't degrade them. Encourage them, and they'll come along. And you'll never know how much God will allow them to soar with him because you had a helping hand in it. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm praying, God, maybe those who are on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you're logged in for the first time, second time, I don't know. And maybe God's tugging at your heart. And he's wanting to give you eternal life. And that's by crying out to God with a heart of repentance. It first starts in our heart. And to acknowledge that Jesus came to die for our sins. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. Those of you that are logged on and watching right now, that you too will have that opportunity to walk in the goodness of God, walk in the grace of God, walk in the mercy of God, because God wants to bless your life beyond your human comprehension. And it's all done by faith. And so if that's you, pray this prayer with me and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Oh, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the